I'm going to read one verse of scripture today, and I'm going to endeavor to preach fairly quickly. It was the last verse that Rinaldi read. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. I want to preach for the next 25 minutes or so. The wisdom of the Magi. The wisdom of the Magi. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible is full of extraordinary characters and extraordinary events, supernatural, miraculous events, supernatural, miraculous happenings throughout its pages. From beginning to end, the Bible is full of the supernatural. And from beginning to end, the Bible is full of interesting characters. From Adam and Eve, who sin in the garden, until John, who is writing the book of Revelation under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. A lot of characters that are worth studying, a lot of characters that are worth looking at and thinking about and dwelling upon and even learning from. The story of Christmas has its own multitude of characters that are part of the Christmas story. Whether it's the angels, and you saw Adderley up here, our lone angel, probably the cutest angel ever, I'm sure. You saw the angels in the Christmas story, or even predating some 6 months prior to the story of Mary and Joseph, you see Zechariah and Elizabeth, and even John the Baptist, who leaps in his mother's womb when Mary comes near to Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant. Mary and Joseph, the second tier stars of the show. Jesus, of course, is the primary star of the show. The primary focus of all of the scripture is upon that little babe in a manger. God robed in flesh, the man Christ Jesus, who is also the God of the universe. But tucked away in that story, and you see them in every nativity scene, is the story of the Magi. These are wise men. Magi, of course, it's the Greek word that is used for these men. Wise men is a translation that some use, King James, New King James, some use that word. NLT uses that word with an asterisk. But Magi is the Greek word behind it, and there are lessons that you and I can learn from the Magi, what they did and what you and I should do that emulates part of what they did. So what wisdom can we learn from these wise men? Wisdom is, of course, an important thing for you and I together. Proverbs 4:7 would say this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the most important thing, so go after wisdom. Wisdom is the thing that is of utmost importance in your life and mine, so whatever you do, get wisdom. So these are wise men. They should be able to teach us. They should have some lessons that you and I can learn from them. What is it that they can teach us? Who are they? What does the Bible tell us about them? What parallels can we find from their experience that early part of Jesus' life and ours? What lessons can we learn from them? The biggest lesson, I'll go ahead and give you the punchline, is this. We can find Jesus if we seek him. That Jesus is available for you and I to find and to enter into a relationship with him if we but seek him. That if we seek him, we shall indeed find him. But the first lesson is this, that the wise men, they actually sought Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." They saw his star. These Magi, they were more likely and most likely they were astronomers. They were men who studied the heavens, men who looked at the constellation, men who looked at the stars without the telescopes that we have today, without the Hubble telescope and any other things, but they would look at the stars and they would figure out what was going to take place from the stars. So in their looking into the sky, they see a new star appear. They see something different that they haven't seen before. It's in the constellation of Leo. It's the star of a king. It's the star of a lion. It is the symbolism of the nation of Israel, or specifically of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And they now know when they see this that the heavens are telling them something important. The heavens are telling them that there is something taking place. So they began the search for this one who was born King of the Jews. In fact, it's what they said to Herod. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? They probably studied ancient writings. Maybe they had read the Old Testament. Maybe they had been reading in the minor prophets or the major prophets, and they knew that the Messiah was coming and the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. But I don't know that they knew that. All they knew was there was something in the sky that said a king has been born of the Jews and we need to go and find out who he is and what it's all about. They knew enough to recognize it was worth exploring. The wise men sought Jesus, and I would tell you that wise men still seek Jesus. Wise men still seek to know him. Wise men still seek to find him. Wise men still seek to go and come out and find everything they can about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have heard about Jesus, no doubt, or you wouldn't be here today. You've heard stories. You've seen Bible references. Maybe during sporting events or other places, you've seen John 3:16. You've seen various others. Hopefully, you've seen John 3:5 and Acts 2:38. But if not, we can talk about that today as well. You've heard stories from the Bible, stories of Noah, who God would spare along with his wife, his three sons, and their three wives on the ark. You've heard the stories of David and Goliath, the shepherd boy who would be king, who kills the giant enemy. Maybe you've heard testimonies of people telling you about what God has done in their life, how he has changed and transformed you, how he has turned your life around, how he has healed you maybe in the past, how he has done, he's been your provider, how he has worked in protecting you. Maybe you've heard all kinds of stories about Jesus. Maybe you've even heard the gospel. I know it's Christmas time and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but the gospel is that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that makes eternal life with Jesus Christ possible. It is what makes us to have the hope that we have of an eternal life in heaven. But it's not enough to hear about Jesus. You can come today and you are hearing about Jesus. But wise men seek Jesus. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough to hear some stories. It's not enough to hear testimonies. It's not enough to hear Bible references or Bible stories, but you have to seek him. Seek, the Bible says, and you will find. Just like the wise men, they sought him and they found him. You can find him today. The second lesson we find is this. Not only did they seek him, but they found a way to get to Jesus. They are wise men or magi from the east. From the east doesn't mean they're next door in Overland Park. From the east doesn't mean they're just across the state line in Missouri. From the east means they're probably thousands of miles away from Bethlehem. They are from the Orient. The Christmas song is correct when it uses the word Orient. These three kings, or we three kings of Orient, are the first. They weren't kings, but they were from the Orient. They saw the star. They knew what the star was symbolizing, but they weren't where the king was going to be born. They had to travel from where they were to where the king was born. It's thousands of miles distance. And think about it this way. Well, let me ask this question. How many of you, like, if you're going to the store, you're like, you know, I think I'm going to leave my vehicle and I'm going to walk the 5 miles to Walmart. Anybody? Anybody? I don't. Oh, one show of hand back there. We'll pray for you, Rinaldi. All right. All right, Jose Luis. Now, I believe that one. I don't believe that one, but I do believe. Most of us, we don't want to walk 1 mile, much less thousands of miles. But it's not on nice paved roads either. They're going across deserts. They're going across rough and hilly terrain. Mountain ranges, no doubt. Burning fire of the desert. Difficult weather, sandstorms. But they had a destination and they had a goal, and they said, we're going to get to where this king has been born. We're not going to let anything stop us. They found a way to get to Jesus. They had heard of Jesus, but they never had not ever been there. And so they decided they were going to find Jesus no matter what. I would tell you that wise men can still find him today. You have to seek him, and you can indeed find him. People search for meaning in life. It's the most searched Google thing out there. What am I here for? What is my purpose? People search for something more. They realize there's something more. They realize this is not all there is. There's got to be something better. Some search for God in the cosmos, looking at the universe, and they seek for him. Some search for God in nature. People even say this at times, I'm never more close to God than when I'm out in the woods. That's just because you've never been to the right place. The best place to find God is not out in the woods, and it's not looking somewhere else. The best place to find him is in his house. The best place to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the place where he makes his abode. You can come to this place and you can find him. You have come to the right place today to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can find him here. He is as close as the mention of his name. That if you haven't experienced him and you haven't felt him and you don't know that you found him, you're here for the food. All you got to do is call on his name, and he is as close as the mention of his name. You can find him in this place today. Not only did they seek him, not only did they find him, but the wise men made it just in time. It was somewhere between 1 and 2 years between the appearing of the star and the wise men getting to Jesus. I don't think my grandson is in here. I would use him right now. This is the perfect time. We did the Christmas story. We put the Magi at Bethlehem right after the shepherds, or some would even put them with the shepherds. And every nativity scene out there, it has the Magi at the manger. But that's really not the timeline of the Bible story. We know that from a variety of ways. We know that Jesus wasn't a newborn infant when the Magi arrived, because after they told Herod when the star had appeared, Herod would kill those who were 2 years and under. No doubt he probably cushioned it a little bit. Just in case they were a little bit off, let's push it out to 2 years and under. But when they see Jesus, the Bible says that when they saw the child, it's a different word. It's not the same word for infant. And they saw him in a house with Mary, his mother. Some time had elapsed. Most people would say he's probably a toddler. Maybe he's one and he's able to walk around a little bit. Maybe he's crawling around. But whatever it is, some time had passed. It wasn't just right after his birth. But when they went to Herod and they told Herod that we've come to worship the King of the Jews, Herod, of course, he gets a little upset because he wants to be King of the Jews. He's the king there by the decree of the emperor, but he wants to be. He doesn't want anybody to usurp his throne. And so after telling Herod about the newborn child that has been prophesied and the stars had spoken of, they're warned to go a different way. They don't go back to Herod, and Herod then comes in and kills all the kids two and under. But God had intervened, and an angel spoke to Joseph and said, flee with Mary and the child to Egypt, so it would be fulfilled by the prophet, out of Egypt have I called my son. All of it was foretold in the Old Testament about what was going to take place. And I realized this, that the Magi coming to Herod is what sparked what Herod would do. But if Herod had gotten word another way, then maybe the Magi would have missed him. 10 days later, Jesus wasn't in Bethlehem. 10 days later, there was no babe to find. There's no infant. There's no God in flesh to find in that city. Wise men don't delay coming to Jesus. Wise men understand that time is not infinite. Wise men understand that nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. Wise men understand that they can't put off the important things to another day. Everybody seems to think that tomorrow is guaranteed, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, and this is what I'm going to do next week. But wise men understand that tomorrow is not guaranteed, and if it's important, I better do it today because I might not get another opportunity. Wise men understand what James wrote, that life is but a vapor, and you and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. Wise men understand that today is the day of salvation. Wise men understand that when you have an opportunity, you need to take advantage of that opportunity, and you need to reach out and find the important things. And the most important thing that you and I can do is find and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek him while he may be found. And I don't say this to scare you. I just say this for you to understand. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't come to Jesus, today should be your day. If you're still waiting and trying to determine whether you want to give your life to Jesus, today should be the day. Because you and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what a day may hold. But seek him while he may be found. The next lesson we learn is this. The wise men brought gifts. They brought gifts of material goods fit for a king. I won't go into the gold and frankincense and myrrh and what people speculate that it means. Just understand that it's expensive gifts that are fit for a king. And the application for you and I is this, is that wise men still bring gifts. God is not looking for gifts of material goods. God is not looking for us to just give him whatever. The most important thing that you and I can do is give the gift of ourselves. What he really wants is you and I. I've used this before. It's from the children's Christmas musical, the late, great potentate. The story of the Magi from their perspective. And I don't remember the names of the in the kids' drama. One of them at least finally realizes that he's the gift. It's not gold, it's not frankincense and myrrh that Jesus wants. What he really wants is you, and what he really wants is me. That we are the gift. We are to give ourselves to him. Wise men still bring the gift of themselves. And lastly, the wise men came to worship. They would tell Herod in verse 2 that we saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. They can come to the music. They saw Herod and said, we've come to worship. And worship is what they did. They bowed down in acknowledgement of his kingship. You saw it enacted by our three magi, our three wise men. They knelt before the babe in the manger. They probably didn't understand his lordship. They probably didn't really understand fully who he was. They knew that he was the king of the Jews. They're from a polytheistic society. They worship multiple gods. That's what that means. They have a lot of gods. But even though they had lots of gods, they probably didn't think about Jesus in those terms. Because they come from a place where emperor worship was not only acceptable, but it was expected. They come from a place where it's what you do. You just bow down to the king. So they're probably not really understanding who he is and that he is the God of the universe that's come as a little boy. Wise men still come to worship. But we don't come to worship a newborn human king. In fact, if you're a Christian, you don't worship human kings. In fact, you don't worship anyone who is fully human. But we come to worship God in human flesh. We come and bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come to worship the one who spoke the worlds into existence. We come and we worship the one who said, let there be, and there was. The one who would say, let there be light, and light appeared. And the one who said, let there be dry land, and it would appear. And the one who said, let there be the animals that creep upon the earth, and they would appear. And the one who would say, let the stars and the moon and the sun, let them appear. And they did. The sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. This one who spoke everything into existence. We come to worship the one whose name is higher than every other name. The one of whom it is said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the one that you and I come to worship. We don't come to worship an infant. We don't come to worship a little babe in a manger because he's no longer in a manger. We don't even come to worship a crucified Savior. We come to worship a risen Savior today. We come to worship the one who was alive and was dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. That's the one that you and I come to worship. We come to worship the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. We come to worship the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We come to worship the bright and morning star. We come to worship the God of the universe. We come to worship the one who died for you and for me. We come to worship the one who is going to set us free and is going to cause us to live with him forever. Would you stand together with me? We've got food waiting. I haven't eaten it all today, so I'm hungry. But I didn't come today to eat. I came today to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I came today to worship the one who died for me. I came to worship the one who's going to take me to heaven. I came to worship the one who gives me peace and joy, the one who gives me hope. I came to worship the one, the only one that can save me from an eternity apart from God. Wise men still seek Jesus. But they don't just seek Jesus. They find him and they worship him. If you're a guest with us today, I'm so thankful that you are here. I realize you probably came because somebody invited you to come and see their kids. That maybe you came because you like good food too. And I'm all for that. But if you just come and you watch the kids of your friend or family or neighbor or coworker, and you come and eat some good food today, and that's all you do, the day's been wasted. Because we don't come to church for any of that. That's just icing on the cake. We come for him. So before we dismiss, and I'll go through all that in a few minutes before we let you go and begin to eat and fellowship, I just want to take a few minutes for somebody to seek Jesus. He is here to be found today. He is here just for you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or you're not confident in where your relationship with Jesus is, I'm going to invite you to join everybody else. And I'm going to invite everybody to the front here in just a moment. We don't usually have the kids, but they can come too. They're usually next door. I don't want to make this just for a certain segment of people. I want to give everybody an opportunity to seek him and to find him and to worship him. So if you want to seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you want to find him today, I'm going to invite everybody just to step out from where you are. Make your way to the front, then begin to sing and play. And would you just lift your hand, your heart, your voices to the Lord, and would you just talk to him for just a moment? Jesus, we love you today. God, we want your presence and power to touch hearts and lives today. God, we want people to find you today. Maybe they've never found you, maybe they've never sought you before, but today could be their day. Today could be the day that they find you. This Christmas could be the time that they find you and build a relationship with you. Yes, Jesus. Come on, would you reach out to him right now?